This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod B2E, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Perry Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. And this warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Katie Green? Yes. And Michael Dean?
Spank Shane. Hard mew mew. Mew 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 mew.
Yes.
You might need to give context for that.
Spank Shane. Hard mew mew. Mew 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 mew.
See, that well, makes Shane, sense to us because we've heard it the last 5 minutes, right. But it might not make sense to other people.
Well, Shane was the board op last night, and, well, it's really MK Lord's fault, but I can't really say what she did, but she did something on the show, and she used up, like, a year's rations of our, like, smut shaming. So she said something, and Shane, the board op, was not on top of it. After I told him, like, 15 minutes earlier, like, hey, man, be on top of it. But he was not. So, but the mew, 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 mew is just, you know.
Spank Shane. Hard mew, mew. Mew, 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 mew.
That's Sangeeta. Yep. So, what's up, Scotland? Good morning, Scotland. Good morning, Haggis.
Yes, it's the morning here. It's incredibly early.
I've actually been in my work already and come back. Yeah. It's 6 a.m.
You've delivered all your mail, and now then you went to the pub, and now you're drunk, and you're home taking a break, a lunch break.
That's how it works here.
You know, speaking
no, I actually
of
the keys.
Speaking of people who want to kill mailmen, so like somebody sent me today on Twitter, they sent me Chris Cantwell's OK Cupid account, which I'm not going to link because it's personal. You know, it's I'm not going to like dox him or anything. And it was pretty much what you'd expect from it everything about him except for one detail. He says on it that his income is $50,000 to $70,000 a year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Either he's lying on that, or he's lying when he's cyber begging because he's constantly
surely nobody would lie on their OKCupid
lie on their
account.
On their dating.
You know, that's lying under oath. Surely.
You know, I did not
everyone
lie.
Must tell the truth on, there.
I met my wife on a cyber dating site, and neither of us lied at all. And although the site was bondage.com. It's a little different than OK Cupid.
I think maybe.
Just, I met just Dan in biology class.
when you were six or something.
Very, very boring.
16.
Was she your child bride, Dan? Was she your child bride?
I was a child bride. I was a young woman. I was 22 years old.
I was 21, so you were taking advantage of me.
I should have known.
Oh, she older than you? Man.
I'm 9 months older than Dan. As I was
cradle robber.
Well, is it Dan? As I was coming into this world, you were being conceived or something like that. That's how it works. That's gross, but true.
Isn't that called Irish twins?
No.
Do you know what Irish twins is? Irish twins is like siblings that are born like 15 months apart or something.
Really? Oh, right. Like, you wait. Yeah, I know eyes. Them. In fact, my grandparents had their kids all about a year apart.
Really?
Yeah.
Just over, yeah.
Just to get out of the way?
Just to get it all out the road. My gran was like, just pop them out. Just have 7, yep. And then that's it. The Catholic way.
Yeah, just you know, a medium-sized Catholic family. Just 7
you know,
children.
Just 7 for now. And then so my speaking mom and dad had 4, and I'm having none. So that's how the evolution's going to go of the family.
Yeah, yep. So speaking of Canadians, I want to talk about the unfortunately named Paul Haggis. So I joke a lot about haggises because you guys are from Scotland, and that's pretty much all most Americans know about Scotland is, you know, the show with the Australian guy playing the Scottish guy. What's that movie called? Mel Gibson.
Braveheart.
Which is all lies.
Yep.
and then the fact that you guys eat like fermented sheep intestines in sheep stomach buried in the ground called a haggis. So I forgot to tell you, I met a guy named Paul Haggis one time at the Deauville Film Festival in Deauville, France, when I was there showing the movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, that I directed. And Paul Haggis came up to me and said, hey, I was told I was supposed to meet you. I'd really like to get a screener of your film. You know, he wanted a DVD of my unreleased movie. And I was like, you got it. Give me your address. I'll have my people send it to you in LA, which basically meant when I got to LA, I sent it to him. So, and he liked it, and he sent me a note. Actually, he had his secretary write a note, which doesn't mean he probably liked it. But he directed Million Dollar Baby and the movie Crash, the weird one about, like, racial, not the one about car crashes that are sexy. The later one about black people and white people, how they're all kind of the same. It's a good movie. Yep. He's Canadian. But his name is Paul Haggis. He's Paul Haggis.
I've never heard that name ever.
You've never heard anyone named Haggis. Ever. And you work somewhere where you deal with
a lot of people. Names like all day. I see a lot of names. Yeah.
Names come you're changing labels and stuff with people's addresses and all that. And I've never come across that either.
I've never come across that name.
Yeah. You both like deal in names 8 hours a day. And you've never seen his name.
We deal in people. People are our business.
I actually referred when I would talk to my wife about him a couple times that I mentioned him. Mm-hmm. Or, dozens of times. Like, this famous director wanted a copy of my movie. I referred to him as
Michael,
the unfortunate...
Michael, it doesn't sound like you wouldn't mention
to brag.
You're modest if nothing else.
Oh, yeah, right. So I referred to him as the unfortunately named Paul Haggis. And that's something I made up, the unfortunately named. Like, if someone's last name is, Dick or, I don't know, Smutley or something. The unfortunately named, Dan Smutley.
We've got a politician or a former politician called Ed Balls.
Yeah. Ed Balls, the unfortunately named Ed Balls.
And his wife did not take his last name.
I wonder why. I was shocked by that.
She made it Balls.
But she's a politician as well, oddly.
She is, she's probably not even, it's probably not even a feminist thing. She's probably like a really traditionalist. She just didn't want to be named Balls.
Yeah, just like, that's what I'm thinking. That would be a horrible name to have.
I actually know someone up here whose surname is Belch.
Yeah, Belch.
That's unfortunate
as
well.
There's a lot of very, very unfortunate.
The unfortunately named Belch.
Mr. Belch to you, sir.
Yeah. I knew a really large person whose last name was Sweat. And I called him the unfortunately named so-and-so Sweat. Yeah. Sweat. Let's see.
That's a shame.
I'm sweating. I work up a sweat doing talk radio.
Everybody, Michael, it's like that book, Everybody Poops, Everybody Sweats.
Yeah, but not like me. I sweat talk. I have to change my clothes halfway through a show. I work that hard in talk radio.
Well, do you not live somewhere where the temperatures are high at this time of year?
At night?
Oh, not really. I don't know. It's let's see what the temperature is. It's you guys do Fahrenheit, right?
Okay. You can. All right, I'll take it.
Okay, it's 57 degrees Fahrenheit out. That's kind of cool. No, that's comfy. But
so is that like 12 or like maybe 10 degrees or something Celsius?
I don't know.
I have no idea what the conversion is. I just know that
Google
Fahrenheit is higher. This is why we have the internet now.
Yes, really 57 degrees Fahrenheit in 2 Celsius. It autofills it. It's 13.8.
See, that's nice. That's like a nice day.
That's comfy.
Us.
Well, if you know what, it would be great. It would be like if our house, if we could just like press a button and the roof would lift at an angle and open up.
I'm working That'd be on great. That, but it's That'd going be great. Badly. I talked to the local council about it. They were not happy.
Well, I've got AC. We've got AC that's really pretty good. But the thing is, the AC in my room where I have my home studio, where I do the show, is like on the opposite side of the room. So there's kind of a microclimate, like over where it is by the bed, it's nice. Mm. But where I spend the whole summer, I could move, but then I wouldn't have a window to look out. So the windowless bunker needs the window to look out. So I'm like baking. Mm. So I actually called, I'm having a guy come tomorrow who does air conditioning, who's going to like drill a hole in my floor and run a tube down to the basement and like put an air conditioning vent under my table so I'll be comfy and cool and
nice.
Happy hubby. Yeah.
That sounds really nice. I remember in Vancouver, everybody had AC.
Nobody has air conditioning here because it's a waste of money.
Everybody needs heating.
Central heating, yeah.
Yeah, because have to have heating here.
Aye, because
so you're from Vancouver, huh? Is that where you grew up?
Vancouver, Canada. Yeah, yeah.
That's where our new hostess with the mostest is from. Diana 2, I'm going to call her. Diana Davidson. But we have another Diana, Diana 1. Diana Kyler, who's from the South, North Carolina. But I'm going to call this one Diana 2. But she's from Vancouver. I don't know if she has AC because she was like opening windows and stuff last night during the show.
I don't know. I mean, we never had AC in Vancouver.
It's because you were too poor for it.
We were poor, man. We
were so poor, we just blew on each other.
It was poor. Now we just blew on each other. Yeah. We just do.
Oh, gentrification. Yeah.
But now that's like that area is amazing. But at the time, it was just sort of,
Yeah.
It's like a kind of hot place to live now.
I listened to my mom and my dad talk about it, and they both
basically. He was Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, that was frightening.
It was Slumdog Millionaire.
Sangria.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just like, I've heard them both talk about how they wish that they'd bought a house in like 1995 in Vancouver.
I wish I bought Bitcoin 5 years ago, man. I would be so rich. I mean, and people told me to, and I was like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
We have a friend, and that happened.
He could have got in really on the bottom floor with it. I mean, he would have made a lot of money by now. I'm not saying like, you know.
Well, when I first was told about Bitcoin, like I heard, you know, Free Talk Live talking about it, and it was like 20 cents or 50 cents maybe.
Oh, yeah. It was cheap.
Like, you know, we could have taken 10 grand or 5 grand and bought it, and we'd be millionaires now. Yeah.
You know, but what? Then, it's not worth thinking about. I get paranoid
See, when I look at different cryptocurrencies, because I think one of these could blow up and they're all so cheap, but then you think it might never happen.
None of them will. It might just be a waste of my time and money.
None of them will ever be worth anything except
Bitcoin of the existing ones.
I think that now we're going to see, I don't know. I just think the whole crypto thing, I think it's going to go away.
No, you're wrong. Go stand in the corner. You're wrong.
Oh my God.
You haven't really researched it. No, and I'm not saying like,
that's actually accurate. I haven't.
It's not like libertarians who say, oh, if you say anything wrong about vaping, you're horrible. Because, you know, it's like, I've actually researched this. No, I think cryptocurrencies are going to, I don't know that Bitcoin's going to be the be all end all, but I don't think there's another one existing now that's going to be, you know, I've looked at all of them. I had a lot of hope on Namecoin, but I was really involved in that and watched it just kind of have a lot of problems. So some people still take Litecoin for donations because it's kind of the one that seems to be worth the most besides that. And Dogecoin has a lot of name value, but it's worth like, you know, what is it, a million of them are worth a penny or a dollar or something? I don't know, but.
I don't know. The
rate has gone up because Doge has been quite close to Litecoin recently as far as I've seen.
Wait, it's more than a dollar for a Dogecoin? No way.
It has been, yeah.
No.
Drop everything. Run to the computer.
Drop everything.
Last time I checked, it was more than a dollar for a Dogecoin. Someone told me that, I don't know if this is true or not, it's just someone I know told me that a lot more people are using Dogecoin for certain things. Shall we say?
On the interwebs and gaming and such.
Yeah, I think you're nuts, man. Yeah.
Who's nuts?
You're nuts. One dollar US is, well, we'll have the information when we come back from this trip to the free market.
Damn, you're nuts.
Yeah, you're nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the
I know. It does, and it's good. And you know, Jim Jesus might be interested in this fact about Paul Haggis. Jim Jesus should look up Paul Haggis, H-A-G-G-I-S, because Paul Haggis is an ex-Scientology church member, and that interests Jim Jesus, people who actually escaped the church and denounced the church and lived to tell the story. So there you go, Jim.
That's interesting.
Unfortunately named Paul Haggis. And I did want to talk about this drug I recommended last night. It's not actually a drug. It's a medical procedure that I've had to add to my daily ablutions. And I called it a neti pot, but it's not actually a neti pot. It's similar. It's called Neilmed, N-E-I-L-M-E-D is the company. Sinus rinse, and it comes with a bottle and 50 pre-mixed packets or different amounts of pre-mixed packets of the weird saline and something else that it comes with. So here's what I do is I take the bottle fill it with distilled water. If you use tap water, it can kill you because you're pushing it up into your nose. So you want distilled water, which you can buy for like $1 a gallon or less at the store. So you pour distilled water up to the line in this thing. You wash your hands really well. You pour distilled water with soap in the sink. Then you pour distilled water up to the line in the NeelMed sinus rinse bottle. You stick it in the microwave for 30 seconds, no more. Put a drop on your wrist. Make sure it's not too hot. Your microwave might be different than mine. It should be pretty warm, but not so warm it's going to burn you. And then you dump one of the little packets in it. Put the lid on that looks like a, you know, just the tip baby in a vast deferens. And then you put your clean thumb over the edge of the tip and shake it to dissolve the packet. Then you lean over the sink and very slowly you stick the tip up your nose so it makes a seal. And very slowly squeeze the bottle until all the liquid goes up one nostril and comes out the other nostril. And some of it will come out of your top of your throat, your mouth.
Yep.
And a little bit might even come out your ears or eyes. Oh. And you do this twice a day. And it really helps with sinuses. And I do it. My doctor told me to do it twice a day and then use over-the-counter Nasacort in each nostril after I blow all the crap out. So what do you think, doctor?
Am I a doctor now because I work at a pharmacy?
No, you're
working. So inaccurate.
Are you a pharmacist?
I am not. I'm not like you. Can, you don't even medicine.
Yeah, but can you fill prescriptions or you just put things in bags?
No, I'm the technician that helps do that. That does it, and the pharmacist checks it.
So I'm not giving medical advice here, but what do you think of this technique?
No, I mean I've seen it done. I've seen people get that sort of it's like a saline kind of wash, and then they get like a.
It's like waterboarding, man. It trains you for Gitmo. Yeah. When I get to Gitmo and they waterboard me, I'm going to be like, Dad, is that all you got, man?
My dad has to do that. It's for sinuses and stuff. So yeah, no, it's pretty, it's not, I wouldn't say it's common. Not a lot of people want to do it, but have to do it.
Yeah,
it's like waterboarding. I'm not surprised a lot of people don't want to do it.
Did you know that like prolonged use of nasal, like I try not to use nasal sprays.
Why not?
I'm boring myself. This is a really boring thing for me to be
saying. No, go ahead, man. Like, go ahead.
If I use nasal sprays...
It's news you can use.
Yes. You're actually not supposed to use them for more than 5 days unless instructed to by a doctor, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Like, for people just buying them over the counter, you're supposed to use them for 5 days or they can cause a...
Sort of an addiction.
Have an effect. Basically...
Where you don't produce, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, your body stops and it's like, hello, I'm becoming dependent.
Well, that's... I've had that happen with that other kind that's like, I don't know what they're called, but they're the ones that have like dextrama something, like they're really kind of harsh and they like, they're the ones that no matter how like cemented shut your nose is, it'll instantly open it up. Like the only time I would use them is I have to like, if I have to go in the recording studio and do vocals and I'm stuffy, then I'll do them and then throw it away. So I don't do it more in a day. Cause literally like when you stop doing that after 3 days, it takes 3 days before you can breathe through your nose again.
Yeah.
But this isn't like that, because I've forgotten to take this before, Nasacort, but it's actually steroid-based. And
is it xylometazine?
Steroids are weird.
X? Oh, that's gross.
I don't know. Let's see.
You and your weird pharmacy talk?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's like, not. I can't read it, though. Cool. It's supposed to be with a T.
Cool.
My old eyes can't see it.
I can't even pronounce half those things anyway.
Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. I don't have to cover up my mixing board anymore now that I don't have cats. I like haven't had cats for like 2 months and I'm still covering it up every day out of habit. Like, you know, covering it up with I have this like thing that kept cats from walking on the mixer, and then I would put a towel over all my equipment to keep cats off it, and I'm like, I don't have to do that anymore. It's pretty cool.
Just have it.
Yeah.
What are you slapping? Because before it sounded like some kind of ham or like a pizza.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Dan Green. Here with the lovely Katie Green.
Katie Green.
So we've got a... Okay, that's a couple of things we should address.
Yes.
Okay, so Michael was talking about his Nelly Med sinus rinse. He's going to put links to that in the show notes for anyone.
Links to
that
in the show notes.
In the show notes. Also, I got the value of Dogecoin badly wrong at the start of the show.
Yeah, Dan is really off the mark.
I'll just explain why. I don't really have any cryptocurrency. The closest is you can donate Bitcoin to us at our website, and that's pretty much
it. Yeah, like, we don't own a bunch of different ones.
And I've got this app on my phone. So I look at it occasionally when I'm bored. And
at one point, I think Doge was up, maybe.
It wasn't where this app said it was, but like... No. That didn't mean anything to me though. See, because I know almost virtually nothing about cryptocurrency, that didn't even really mean anything to me.
Yeah,
I was like, just like, that didn't, it was like, for some people that may have surprised them and thought, that's strange, that can't be true, let me check this.
Yeah.
For me, it just didn't register.
I'll be like, honest, I've sort of talked about cryptocurrency, but to be fair, in hindsight now, I don't know that much about it and I really shouldn't have an opinion on it.
So I shouldn't have an opinion.
I shouldn't have. I'm not allowed. No, but like, you know that way where if you don't know about something, you should just shut up about it. So I'm just going to shut up about
it. Well, see, if I knew that, I wouldn't say half the things I say if I understood that.
You need to respect that rule.
I clearly don't get that rule.
I think in this house, I'm implementing that rule. If you don't know what you're talking about, just shut up.
Just don't say it.
The dog's raging. He hasn't said anything in 5 years. Anyway. Right. So we wanted to talk about something fun. Michael Dean, by the way, is never far away. He might be back.
He's always floating around.
But so for now, we're just going to talk nonsense. Dan, we were talking about something weird this week that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I think it's actually been mentioned before on the Fiends, but I only recently found out about this. There's this kind of weird band called the KLF, and they were like a 90s sort of British, sort of dance, acid house band, you could say, if you want to be technical about it. But like, they burned £1 million and filmed it in the Isle of Jura.
Right. You're jumping from who they are to like the madness, right?
I just want to get there quickly.
They actually burned, now, £1 million is, at that time, probably the exchange rate would have been nearer to, right now it's
this was the early 90s, so it was a completely different time.
Right now it's about $1.50 to British pound.
Is it? American, did you check that, or are you just doing what I did with Dogecoin?
No,
just
I keep on top of currency, my friend.
I'm going to check.
Okay, I'm talking about...
I'm going to hold you to this.
Useless currency.
You better hope you're not wrong.
Old world currency. In the before time, before the cryptocurrency, there was
In
the long, long ago, there was what's called currency. And you go to a bureau de change. A bureau de change. And you would go to the exchange, and you can trade your paper money for other foreign paper money. So that used to happen. And I think it's about $1.50 American now.
Well, I'm going to check that. But the thing...
Well, the whole point is...
Oh, 154.
Oh, well, that's... Yeah, I win.
One
under
is,
five, what? You have to go for the one below. So
okay,
1.
I'm going to give you...
I win. Nice. Okay. You have to do the dishes now for like a week. That's
yeah,
the
but
rule
like
when you lose.
Anyway, see this burden £1 million thing, right? I was kind of, I don't know, I was quite interested in it because I didn't know how to take it at first, if you know what I mean, because I thought it's kind of in a way, it's kind of like the cool artistic gesture that I could never ever bring myself to actually do, if you know what
I mean. Cry me a river. I'm sorry, no, absolutely no way. Right, first of all, okay, See, if I don't know what the premise of it was. I don't know if this was a big sort of word I can't say on radio, you to the man and the authority and all that regular angsty stuff, or if it was like an art project that he thought, well, if I just say I'm spending £1 million on this art installation, and it really was a spectacle. They burned it on an island.
They filmed it, yeah.
And they filmed
made a movie. And actually then they did a tour where they actually discussed it and what it meant and where they showed the film.
Was that just maybe £1 million on their PR and their this art thing and this PR for this tour to take place? If so, I mean, that was a smart investment to make. That was a smart thing. But I don't know if that was consciously made there.
But it's like kind of you say, I mean, you could blow £1 million doing some kind of weird big show. Spectacle or something
I
like
could.
That.
I don't know if you could, because you're quite frugal.
I'm too reserved for that.
Whereas I would have like...
You would nail it.
I don't know. Cage dance.
You would have a condensed Pink Floyd concert. But like, the whole point is like, I think that at first I kind of thought, well, this is kind of a cool gesture. And then I thought, well, maybe it's a bit stupid. Like, I could have maybe gone to other things.
Mm-hmm. Like people, I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, I could buy art supplies and make art. I could also get a £20 note and I could burn it and say that that's my art. But
and
I
in a way it
lazy.
Is. But what would get people talking more? It depends what you paint. Maybe the burning the money would get... But is that what it's about? Is that the whole point?
I mean, I could
point?
Stand out in the street and burn money. People just get angry at that, by the way. People just get really mad.
But I started to wonder...
Is that
like,
illegal?
To burn money? I
the Queen's
know.
Faces on it?
I don't know.
were they breaking a law there, I wonder? Or was it...
I don't know if they were breaking a law. I don't
is that
technically
not, is
know.
Is that not a law? Am I making that up? I've heard that.
To be honest, I don't know. I'd have
it
to look
the
into
office.
It.
It was on the UK office. You can't burn anything with the Queen's
image of the realm or something.
And they were talking about stamps. And he was like, what is that currency? A stamp? And he was like, a bus driver wouldn't take it. He's like, well, he'd have to. And it's a ridiculous conversation.
But
just
like,
to check, by the way, they will not take stamps on the bus.
Right.
They just won't.
Just so people know
just
that.
Just so people
don't
know.
Use stamps on the bus.
Yeah. They don't take them.
You really raise the tone of talk radio.
Right, okay, Dan, hurry up.
Then I started to think, well, what was the whole point of the exercise to get people to think about it? Because see, when you talk about whatever side you're on of whether they should have burned £1 million or not, and having the conversation of whether they should have done it or not, the fact that someone did it and you have that conversation... When you're
is
having that conversation, doesn't that make you think of the... It makes people think more of the nature of money now that someone's taken an extreme step, like burning so much of it.
See, I have to admit, I mean, the guy has come out since and said he does not... He kind of regrets that. Is that right?
At first he said he didn't regret it, but then he eventually came out, I think it was the BBC, and he said, he does regret it because he said it's kind of hard to justify
it. Dan, that's the BBC's cultural bias talking. They don't tell the truth. Did you
that's
not know
the,
that?
The BBC's lefty bias.
Do you not... That's what the liberal media wants you to think. Oh,
what are we then? The not so liberal media?
This is the not so liberal media.
The libertarian
with serious
media.
Weird overtones. Right, okay.
But no, isn't it? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't think I could bring myself to burn £1 million.
I can't bring myself to burn a fiver. I just can't do it. I'm you know, we're not rich.
See, to be honest, I don't even throw my pennies away. So,
you keep your pennies, and then
we go
to the self checkout, and people hate us because we pay for stuff with pennies. But you know what? That's my right. Okay,
it is your right to pay with pennies. It's your right to go with a massive bag of pennies and pay for like three things, like milk and eggs,
like necessities. Really sad things, and we look like students, and people look at us and go, "They're too old to be doing this." And it's like, whatever.
Mature students, man.
We are mature. We are not students, by the way. We're students of life.
That was the worst thing.
Worst thing I've ever said.
No, I don't know. The £1 million thing was interesting. Actually, how I heard about it was I went into work and there's a guy in my work who was around in all the big sort of British raves in the 90s. You know, like he was right on the scene at that time and he always talks about it. And I mentioned to him, I was like, I downloaded this album by this band called the KLF and I didn't even know any of this other stuff about it. I didn't know anything about it. And he was like, oh, the KLF, man. Oh, let me tell you about the KLF, Dan. He started telling me all this stuff.
You do your weird impression.
And then he shouted this other guy and he went, Dan's talking about the KLF. And he went, oh, is that the guy that burned £1 million? And I was like, what? Wait, hold on. Like, I thought they were just some random band. I didn't know there was all this stuff that went. I didn't know there was.
Well, that just gives credence to the idea that this was a more of a, like an art statement Do you think it was more of an art statement, or do you think it was a
stick it to the man.
Stick it to the man.
School of Rock.
School of Rock. Oh, funny.
Too many references.
2004, that came out. Just that's a bit of trivia for you.
Thank you.
I think. I'd just say that.
But see, the other thing that makes you think, though, like, there's a band called, a British band called the, like, quite legendary, called the Teardrop Explodes, and apparently they owed the lead singer, the KLF, they owed the lead singer, Julian Cope, some money, and he came out and said after they burned all this money, you know, they owed people money, and that must be a slap in the face to someone like him who is, well, you that, know, he's owed something and they're burning £1 million and he owes them money. I mean, that's the bit that made me sort of swither about it. I was kind of like,
Well, I don't know, at the end of the day, it's not my money, so I don't really, my opinion doesn't really matter about this. I think it was a silly thing. I think it's a silly statement kind of to make, but the other part of me, the more artistic part of me kind of goes, actually, I do kind of get that though. Because if you think about it, like, what is anything we do? I mean, if you invest money in anything, what are you doing?
Well, I suppose
money's so pointless. It's just, the current system, not having a currency, I like having some kind of currency to barter. You have to have one, but just the way our current money system is.
Fractional reserve banking. And this is that. The libertarian part of the
all
show.
That this is a libertarian show.
We may not have given you that impression up until now.
Maybe you're just flicking through your radio and you've come across this and wonder, what is this?
We're wondering what this is too.
I wonder what's happening right now. But no, we are in the moors of Glasgow.
Thanks for that.
It's incredibly early in the morning, so just kind of rambling at this point.
Yeah, about burning things.
About burning things.
Those guys were interested in the KLF because they had, like, they burned a wicker man as well one time,
they do
like
that
a giant
at festivals,
wicker man.
Don't they?
Yeah, but like, this wasn't a festival, this was just them, and like, you know.
In a field somewhere.
They also burned a load of their old records because they'd sampled ABBA heavily, ABBA's lawyers were suing them. And
we don't
they
want to get sued.
They went to like, they went to like Sweden and tried to speak to ABBA, and they didn't succeed. So they ended up apparently burning a load of the records in a field in Sweden and then dumping the rest of them off the side of a ferry in the North Sea on their way back.
Fan of sampling, but some people are very much no, that's someone else's.
I love sampling. We've been working with some samples from some obscure 1930s films.
Well, we found this was really good, right? Dan said to me, do you want to make
don't give away our sample source, man? Just
no, I'm sorry, no, I'm just saying, okay.
No, I'm sorry, it's
already up on my Facebook anyway. There's a really good obscure black and white version of Alice in Wonderland done in 1931, and I put it up on my YouTube, I put it up on my Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
Which means nothing to most people probably listening to this, but...
But the samples are really... Creepy. It's such a creepy film.
But
see,
it didn't mean to be.
I don't think it meant to be, but it was like a Smashing Pumpkins video or something. It was really sort of...
It was a low-budget indie film even in 1931.
I know, so... I mean, that tells you something, doesn't it?
It tells you how low budget it was, you know.
Aye, but it's so weird. I mean, the girl that's playing Alice, she looks all kind of gothy.
Yeah.
Sort of freaky.
We like to get freaky. Okay, join us when we come back for this trip to the free market.
Worms.
Wormage.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is some Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We're talking about music and burning money.
We were talking about the KLF, but then we kind of got a bit onto sampling.
Now, for anybody that doesn't know what sampling is, Dan, you want to break it down?
Well, it's pretty simple, isn't it? It's just taking bits of other songs, basically. Or
not everyone knows that, though.
I suppose. Not even just songs, but like, you know, basically it, taking something and inserting it into your own music. Like, you know, it could be someone talking, or it could be like a bit of another song or something, or audience noise or whatever, because we do it a bit, and I like a lot of music that uses samples. I like a lot of industrial music and stuff, and usually that's contains, like, you know, it doesn't always have to be sample heavy, but there usually is samples in it.
Yeah,
but I don't mind, because we were talking before about, you know, you listen to some bands and you can, like, maybe they're not using samples, but you can hear their influences through their songs.
You and I were talking about this, and I believe that sort of creativity, sort of, there's like a flow to it, and it's almost like consciousness. There's just a flow. Like,
okay.
I know I sound like a real hippie right now, and I know that, but you have to go with me.
Bear with her. Just
follow the thought. Just follow. Come with me. come with me, will you? Okay.
You're like some kind of Pied Piper there.
No,
just
but
follow
the whole
me, children.
Thing about it is there's only so much you can do with something, and sometimes people take their creative influences from other things, and it doesn't make it bad. It doesn't make it copying. It just means that you're inspired enough by someone to say, I like what you do, and I aspire to take that and see what I can do with it myself.
Yeah,
that's what I see it as. I don't know how you feel, Dan.
No, I know what you mean. And it's like, as well, like, you know, some people say, like, they talk about, for example, I'll use an example, like, they say, like, Nirvana, and they might say Smells Like Teen Spirit. Like, even Kurt Cobain himself mentioned that it kind of bears a resemblance, the riff, to, you know, that Boston song, More Than a Feeling.
More Than a Feeling, yeah.
I can kind of see it. It's a different chord progression, but I know what they mean. But there's also a Killing
great
Joke
example,
song.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a Killing Joke song. And I don't know if Kurt Cobain was into Killing Joke or not, I actually don't know. But there's a song called 80s by them, and it sounds so much like the Nirvana song Come As You Are. Like, so it's obvious that the Killing Joke were out way before Nirvana. Yeah. So it's obvious that, like, I'd be surprised if he hadn't heard that song.
It would be a
weird coincidence.
It's pretty spot on. You played it for me and you went, what does that sound like? And I was like, is someone covered Nirvana? And you were like, no, these guys came out like before. So
yeah, I mean, but Killing Joke have inspired a load of bands.
When people cover Nirvana
songs,
I tend to cry. I don't like it. How? It's like, leave it alone, man.
Do you think no one can do it justice, in your opinion?
I don't think... No. I really enjoyed Kurt Cobain's voice.
Well, do you know what I like, though? You know, you get those cover albums...
I enjoy it,
like,
every day, actually.
You know, you get those like, those interesting cover albums where, like, they get bands on, but they really make the songs their own. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a Ramones one, for example, and Marilyn Manson did a version of that song, The KKK Took My Baby Away.
That is... Do you know what?
And when
that
the Ramones did it,
it
was such
song.
A punk song, but Marilyn Manson just totally made it his. Yeah. Because he creeped it right out, and it's such a weird take on it. But I love hearing how someone interprets other songs like that through their own influences.
I really like that. And the thing that sometimes annoys me is, like, when I hear bands that have no... I don't know. There's something about it. There's no...
Well, like, there's something missing from it. Like, there's just something vacant from it. Like, a lack of passion or feeling or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or realness.
But that makes it kind of useless to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, well, I can't feel that. That's nothing. You know, like, I mean, that's no use to me. Like, you know.
You listen to music to be moved.
I want to be moved. No, I'm just, I sound like such a hippie. But I love
music.
You know how I feel about music, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm the same. I mean, I even heard it. Oh, God, I remember one time listening to System of a Down, and just the way they would stop and change the riff, I was like, that's the way Black Sabbath used to do it. And then I found out that Black Sabbath has an influence on them. Oh, my.
Oh, I wonder who
what?
This could be.
What?
It's a Michael Dean.
Yeah. Haggis.
What's she got all excited.
What
Haggis,
you doing?
Haggis on your firstborn.
Haggis upon all your children.
So have you heard the interview we did with Chris Novoselic?
With Chris, no,
actually, no, I've been meaning to listen to that, but I haven't actually listened to
it. I know that you did one, and I know that he got the microphone and stuff, because I think I've spoken.
Did you know that in that he says that Kurt Cobain was and he were big fans of my band Bomb?
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Did they steal your stuff, Michael? Tell me.
No, we were operating independently at the same time. But I should play my version of Personal Jesus when we come back. This Depeche Mode song that Bomb did 10 years before Marilyn Manson did.
Really? Okay.
I'm slapping ladies' bottoms to answer your question. I've got them all lined up.
That's disturbing.
They like it. They asked me to.
Well, that's their business.
It's voluntarism. It's not your business. It's too much information for your business.
TMI.
Don't listen to my old podcast.
I'm not going to, sir.
We played it last night on the show in the break. I harmed MK Lords and Diana.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Good. Well, you're talking on the air right now, man. You're telling everyone else you got it. You got to wait until it's 10 seconds. It's teaching hospital. 8, 9, 10. All right, we'll time after this.
I'm an anarchist. This is the Freedom Feeds broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Tie-In Canada. Of financial plaza on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And at this point, I'd like to point out that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except for governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org.
And Kyle, don't start the cuss dump yet building if you haven't. Sort of play some music, but if you have, it's okay. So it doesn't matter. Kyle. Yeah. That sounds Scottish. So.
It's South Parkian. It was meant to say
Kyle,
Cartman.
They killed Kenny. Okay. Are those, wow. You're trying to sound American? Wow.
I know. It's bad.
This is Michael Dean. I'm talking to the Greens. I guess I'm going to play my band Bomb's version of Personal Jesus, the Depeche Mode song from 1990. And we recorded this in Berlin, Germany. And it was on a German record label. I don't even remember the name of it. It was a 7-inch single. And I think I have one copy of it, but I'm going to play it and then you guys get the rest of the hour. So, cause we mentioned it and you can't, you know,
yeah.
if you show a gun in act one, you have to use it in act three. That's how filmmaking works. So we mentioned it. Okay. So we have to play it. So here we go.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Like 10 years before Marilyn Manson did it, very similarly.
Yeah.
I don't think he stole it though. I think this is just how a hard rock band would do it. You know.
I know you did.
I know what you mean.
I got it all. Personal.
It's a little light religious music there. Face. You're out. Reach out.
That song.
Touch
that was
worms.
Awesome.
Cool.
Cool. Reach out and touch worms.
Okay. Reach out and touch worms. All right. Have a good show, y'all. Thank you for your service.
Michael.
Yes.
Michael, can I ask you, was one of your part of the reasons for choosing worms the fact that if you kill a worm, like if you split it in half, it becomes two worms?
Yeah, it doesn't really necessarily also. No.
Does it not? I remember that childhood. Or is that just romanticizing?
But we can have backronyms. We have backronyms where we can keep adding reasons we claim we came up with it. And that could be one of them.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. So there you go. Nice. All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Worms.
Bye.
Worms. Bye. So, Dan, what were we going to jump into? Well, that new thing. I should specify for people who aren't us, who don't know what that means. There's this new bill that they're trying to pass here in the United Kingdom that bans pleasure, basically. Anything that gives you a euphoric feeling that's not nicotine, alcohol, or
Tobacco.
Tobacco, alcohol, or it's like caffeine.
I'll find the exact wording, but it's like causes changes in something. But like, basically, I was reading a couple of things about it, and the way it's kind of the bill's worded, it could apply to things like certain types of nuts or certain flowers. Types of flowers and stuff. Because they say they're trying to ban these what they call legal highs. The thing is that it's because they keep changing the chemicals in them, they keep evading the law.
They're trying to find something
sort of
like a law that will stop people from being able to change the chemical sort of compounds or whatever. I don't even really understand. All I know is if you change one thing, it then becomes another version.
Yeah, so they're trying to basically do a blanket thing where they say except for the exceptions of like, what is it, caffeine, nicotine and alcohol.
Yeah, basically everything that they can tax and stuff and that you need to buy from them, basically.
It's ridiculous.
It's really just disgusting.
It doesn't even make sense because so many things could technically be banned. It just gives them carte blanche to ban whatever they like. It's just on a whim. Whether they're like, yeah, I'm kind of bothered
someone that I know suggested to me that instead of having a list of, say, things that you're not allowed to have, they want to have a list of things, like this is according to this friend of mine, they want to have like a list of things that you are allowed to consume instead of a list you aren't. So instead of going to somewhere and going, right, I'm not allowed to do that, you go to something and go, I am allowed to do that. That scares me because that really limits your choices.
Yeah.
Severely limits your choices. And I'm not talking, I mean, we've already got drug laws.
Well, put it this way, see, this government since 2010, it's banned more than 500 new drugs.
Yeah.
Already.
And if you look at the market, it's booming. I mean, I don't think there's any shortage of things to get you high out there.
And that just brings me to the point that
hairspray can get you high, though.
Well, see these synthetic things, that these so-called legal highs, I mean, a lot of them are like plant foods and stuff like this. And see, the thing is, people would be better off like smoking a joint or something than taking this chemical rubbish.
You would be much better off smoking good quality marijuana than you would be something completely synthetic. You don't know where it came from.
What's in it?
Because it's one of these legal highs.
Do you know that technically tea is a psychoactive substance? Technically, what are they going to do? Ban tea? I'd like to see that
work. EU, apparently, I say apparently a lot because I don't want to have to do a big I was wrong thing. So this is just what I've heard. And if you want to find out if it's true, go ahead. I've heard that they want to ban,
I don't know. I don't know where you're going with this.
I don't know where I'm going with this either. I completely forgot.
Well, you remember that. See, I've got the bit of the psychoactive substance bill, right? So they're now defining in this country.
I remember now, but yeah, go on.
Go on then.
The EU human rights laws apparently right now are keeping this bill from being passed, but this government's, funnily enough, trying to...
Is that right?
Apparently so, yeah. Oh, I'm going to research that later on today.
That means she's guessing. But anyway, now they're defining a psychoactive substance as a substance which either is capable of producing a psychoactive effect in a person who consumes it and is not an exempted substance, right? The definition of psychoactive is a substance produces a psychoactive effect in a person if by stimulating or depressing the person's central nervous system, it affects the person's mental functioning or emotional state.
Can I be honest with you, man.
That's so vague.
That's the antidepressants I take every morning. Yeah. That's exactly what they do. Everybody's
so
on them,
vague,
Dan.
And ridiculous. Be glad you don't live in Britain.
Let's not get angry, though. Let's put the free market.
I'm moving.
Chill out. Let's chill out. You're not moving anywhere. You're stuck here. Me and the dog.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, teasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Dan Green, here with the lovely Katie Green.
Hello.
So we were talking about this ludicrous bill the government here are trying to pass to ban psychoactive substances, because, I mean,
apart from the ones that they tax and regulate.
This is important, especially for like our audience in other countries, because if they get away with this here, they can get away with it anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good point. But like, no, the thing is, they say they want to ban things that like affect your emotional state, but anything that gives you pleasure affects your emotional state. Yeah, there you go. But then there's another thing here as well. What about stuff like, I don't know, butane gas, glue?
Well, this is what I was saying about hairspray before, okay? Hairspray, yeah. I said that kind of partially as a joke, but that's actually true. Any kind of aerosol can
butane glass, yeah. Any kind of glue, cleaning fluids, they can get people high, or you could use them, you know, for another use.
A lot of people used to come in the pharmacy and ask for surgical spirit,
which is
a very, very strong... Oh, it reminds me of, like, an old... dentist office or something. I don't know. It's like very
Is it what
clinical.
You imagine a dentist office to be like, yeah, like a long time ago in a horror
like
film?
In the 50s or something. That's what like your dentist was filled with smoke and it smelled like this stuff. That's what your dentist was like in the 50s. And that's what I feel. That's what I feel that that's what smell like. But it's disgusting. But the thing is, you can't... See, this is the problem. They're trying to regulate... They're trying to prohibit people. They're no longer trying to stop... feelings and emotions. They're trying to stop people from just being people. This is exactly part of the human experience. Surely if there's something natural that you can do whatever what you want with, that alters your conscious state, you're within your rights. It's your body.
Well, someone I know pointed out to me once here that during the summer, certain types of psychoactive mushrooms grow in people's gardens here quite regularly.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a specific type that grows here. So, if the police were going to go through certain areas and walk into everybody's garden who's got mushrooms like by their tree or something and arrest them for possession or cultivation,
that's actually a good
because
point.
Surely that's the logical conclusion of all this rubbish. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. You're banning something that's everywhere.
Magic mushrooms grow wild here.
As they do.
I guess. I mean, the thing is, it's a fungus. You can't really, you know.
How are you going to stop a fungus?
You can't stop a fungus.
It's ridiculous. But see, this whole bill also...
You can't stop a fungus.
That's my slogan.
That's the name of my one-woman show.
Is it?
This week. Every week it's going to change. I've been changing it for a long time.
Katie Green in You Can't Stop a Fungus.
Katie Green in I Don't Know What I'm Doing Anymore, because I talk about this a lot. And I'm never doing it.
We're all waiting for your one-woman show. No. And then it has to go up on YouTube as well, so that everyone can see it. Because it's not fair just to us in the audience.
No.
But see, if I'm...
If I have to put up with me in my head, then everybody does. That's kind of how... That's the name of it maybe next week.
you can't preempt them for the next week.
I don't know how I'm going to feel next week. I could, you know... Who knows where I'm going to be?
You know? Are you settling on so you can't stop a fungus?
So you can't stop a fungus. So anyway, mushrooms are a fungus. I want to get away from the one woman show thing. mushrooms are a fungus that grow, and some of them get you weirded. I don't know. I've never, just for the record, by the way, I've never picked mushrooms and done them.
No, this is just...
I don't have the the courage or the want, really, to do that right now.
Yeah, you're worried.
Yeah, I'd be so paranoid.
But see this bill as well. It could affect certain types of nuts, like betel and areca nuts, which are popular amongst like some South Asians. They have like a mild stimulative effect, sort of comparable to like coffee or something. So technically, because that's not caffeine, that would be banned. And then people with vape pens, because
that's the thing.
Sometimes you're not vaping just nicotine, you've got other chemicals in there, and they could technically come under this ban. It could affect everybody.
I think a good vape liquid. Now, I'm not anti-vape. I think I used it to get off smoking, but mine only had glycerol and something else all.
But
those were the only two things in it.
But you don't know if they would now come under being listed on this.
I would hope not.
Because like from the things I've kind of read there, some like vapors add other substances for soothing or stimulative effects.
Also, I was going to say, you know, do they not realize that for someone like me, like a donut is like a sexual experience? Like that's like, that's beautiful, man. Like, you know, I'm a sugar junkie.
Keep it clean on the radio, man.
No, that's fine. I know. It's late night. It's fine. So
But you know,
but that's what I'm saying. That gives me pleasure to eat like a chocolate eclair. So are they going to ban that? Because that gives me, you know.
Anyway, it does, yeah, because it affects like, your emotional state, doesn't it? Man. Yeah, because that's what they're saying, something that affects your emotional state. So that affects your emotional state. So they were even saying so does like flowers, like the scent of flowers can technically affect
it's
your just, emotional
it's
state.
It's kind of ridiculous what they're
it's
trying
the
to do.
The worst drug legislation I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's shoddy. And that's what angers me more.
Just that it's shoddy. It's just shoddy. That it seems like they didn't try
See
hard
if
enough.
They actually, like, you know, did their research. Knew what they were talking about.
Even
Theresa
bigly.
May has never done mushrooms in her life. I'm quite
we'll
sure
be back.
Of that. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Dan Green. My name is Katie Green. If you don't know who we are or what we do, you can go to greeningoutpodcast.com and find out if you care.
Yeah.
If you don't, then that's fine.
I always wonder who listens to us talking about like you if they just tune in and you're talking about your one woman chokehold, you can't stop the fungus, and then they go, I really wonder where their website is because
yeah,
I really want to hear more from these characters.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That makes me sound gross, to be fair. That's not the name of my one-woman show.
What is it?
It's to
yeah, you have to settle on one.
To be announced.
You have to announce it before the end of the show,
no,
though.
I'll announce it when I want to, Dan. It's my show. Okay, so end of.
She means not this show, her one-woman show.
One-woman show. No, I talk about that a lot, and it's just a joke. It's an incredibly big joke. Because
it's not a joke, it's totally
serious.
It's not
happening, it's never happening.
Would you do it for charity? See, now I've backed you into a corner because
I've
used the charity word. Because if you say no, you sound horrendous.
Okay, all right, I would do it for charity.
What charity?
Like how about you do this? You're too direct. Like it's too early for this kind of commitment. Right. Okay. If I had to for charity, I would write one based on my journals from when I was young. I kept them all.
And what would it
very
be?
Very angsty.
What would it be about? Would it just be you shouting at people in some kind of weird arty cafe going, why don't you like me?
Why don't you like me? That was that one in Friends was so funny when she did that. She's funny. She does
The actress
she does
played
the
her?
Voice of Lois in Family Guy.
Oh, the actress that played that movie.
I can't remember. I've seen her in a lot of stuff.
Hmm,
she is so funny. Oh,
but yeah,
her name escapes me. I'm so sorry.
We were talking about this bill that wants to essentially ban pleasure in the UK. So would you see your one-woman show as like a psychoactive substance for all those who are in attendance?
It melts my brain to that point of madness. So if they're going to ban my show, I want to talk to them about it. Because this cannot happen.
You're going to disappoint a lot of people if you don't make a one-woman show now. You understand that, don't you?
I think it's going to be you. And like maybe two other people will be like, but that's it. Everyone
we'll stream
else
it live
is
online.
Relieved. No, it's never happening.
Well, you've just disappointed me
okay.
this morning.
All right, I want to move away from this now. So they're trying to ban pleasure. I mean, next thing you know, they're going to be.
Well, the problem
us
is
when we're allowed to, you know,
you know,
do the business. You know, it's like. You know, they just want every aspect of your life covered. And
see, we were saying though, it's bad because, like, you know, what they're defining as like a psychoactive substance is something that, you know, can change your emotional state and things like that. See, because I think it's intentionally vague like that. I actually do, because it would make sense because then they can, when they feel like it, they could extend it to anything they don't like. So
I'll be honest with you,
I think it's meant to be vague.
There are things I find offensive in my everyday life, but I keep my mouth shut about it. I find it offensive when people share scan pictures on Facebook. I don't want to see your uterus. I didn't agree to see the inside of you. I don't care what's in your
direct
stomach.
Direct all complaints to Katie.
No, sorry, all right. Direct your hate mail to I don't care. No. No, I'm just saying, like, that offends me. Pictures of...
Does it offend you?
Some religious people I know post pictures of, like, bleeding Christs on their Facebook. That offends me. That upsets me. That makes me think of nasty things. But that is...
That's the point of it, though, isn't it?
Like, yeah, but I don't want to think about that. Like, that's...
You know that you can choose who you follow on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I know. It's not like a totalitarian.
Who's on your face? Who's on your Facebook as well?
No, I know. Like, I have some weird.
I don't get this kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of twisted Christs, and you know.
Yeah, and scan pictures. Is that mostly what you
find? Like, that's the two ends of the spectrum. I'm just saying that's like a very overtly.
But then, do you post things? Do you think about other people's sensibilities when you post things?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you?
I think, who's going to see this and what will be their impression when they do?
Really?
Surely everybody thinks that.
Do you think your post reflects on you in some way?
I'm writing it. Surely, who does it reflect on if not me? I'm sorry, no one else is responsible for that tweet, ladies and gentlemen. That's me.
Well, what if you retweeted something?
Well,
I know we're getting into a bit of a stupid conversation here.
Yeah, this is a weird conversation.
We're going down one of these.
I'm not saying, you know, people should consider everybody's feels or whatever you would call it when they do something, but I'm just saying, I often think, okay, who, you know, what's my audience here?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean, and
I don't know.
I still get surprised that we have this kind of crazy attitude in this country, though, like, to drugs and things like that and psychoactive substances. I mean,
for such a,
you can fly to Amsterdam. In an hour. And you know,
literally,
I mean,
over the water.
And things things aren't falling to bits there. You know, they have their problems, but what city doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not been marijuana's been decriminalized since like the 1970s in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And I've said this loads of times, I feel safer walking around Amsterdam at night than I do walking around Glasgow at night. Mm-hmm. I feel much safer. But and then even I thought when medicinal marijuana started to open up in the US,
I really thought, like, over here that they would really take that on board, but because we have a conservative government. And
it's just usually a lot of US trends sort of get adopted here. So I maybe thought that would open up, but then this is just why I wanted to talk about this, because it's disappointed me that they're actually going.
They're going the other way.
I was hoping they might take moves towards sort of even like medicinal marijuana.
Well, I mean, I was hoping that they might do
I would never expect them to go full on decriminalization. No, I was just hoping they would take baby steps, but instead they're running in the other direction instead of taking baby steps.
It's more lucrative for you know, local councils and governments if the legalization went through, because that would create jobs and stuff. But again, that would make it so then they would have a hand in it, and that might restrict
what?
Well, I've read that even though places like in Colorado where it's legalized, some of it just depends. Sometimes you're still cheaper going black market.
Oh, really?
I've heard that being talked about.
That's interesting.
So it's like somebody was paying 60 at a dispensary when they could pay 40 black market. So
I like the Amsterdam model better, if I'm honest, because it's the decriminalization model. I think it's more of like a grey area, you know, and there's like,
if anybody hasn't been, it's lovely, and I've only been the one time, but
the thing I like about that as well is, like, they did outlaw magic mushrooms in Amsterdam, but they kept magic truffles.
Oh, yes.
And they sell them in shops, and they actually have, like, star ratings on them. Yeah, so it's, like, visuals, philosophical, creative. Yeah. Like, it's quite funny. Yeah. Like, and you wonder, I started to wonder, whose job is it to sit down and take all these truffles and attempt to rate them all?
Who's coherent enough to go, do you know what? This is 5 stars. My mind is blown.
3.5, you know, but well done for trying. Yeah. You know, like,
I don't know.
That's somebody's job. See the kind of jobs that open up in that market?
You want? Like, where do you find listings?
No, I don't know. I think I would be carted off somewhere pretty quickly if I got that job.
Off to a local,
I don't think I could handle that job. No. I'm not mentally strong enough.
No. No.
You need to be a hero to do that job.
You do need to be a hero or an extremely experienced psychonaut to do that job.
But, like, you know, that's the thing. Even though those truffles are legal in Amsterdam, you don't see, like, people falling. You don't see people falling into canals every 2 minutes and stuff like that.
Crazy experience.
He looked like he was having a good time, though. This guy looked like he was pulling the sunshine down into himself.
He was, like, luring the sun down as if to say, come down, sun. You know, like, in Shooting Stars, the dove from above. Nobody's going to know what that
means. He's higher than probably everyone will ever be.
Yeah. Like, you wish you were as high as that guy. Everybody does.
Now, that's the thing. So, like,
I'd also like to point out, you know, you and I stick within the laws of whatever country we are currently in at that time.
Yes.
So
anything that happened in Amsterdam was perfectly legal.
Well, what happens in Amsterdam stays in Amsterdam.
Now, you know, now people are going to be like, what happened in Amsterdam? Come on, tell us.
Nothing
you know,
weird.
It was weird.
It wasn't weird. It was kind of weird.
If you go to Amsterdam and nothing weird happens to you, then you weren't
right.
really there.
Yeah, you're not doing it right. If you go to Amsterdam and you come back with a clean mind... And like clean a clean mate. Conscience and they're like, I really was good. Like, you haven't done Amsterdam properly.
My mother went and like she avoided all the coffee shops and everything. And she was like, oh,
when they talked
about
the red light district, it was so proper. It was oh, I didn't really pay much attention to that. It's like, yes, you did. They're there and they're everywhere.
That trip was wasted on her.
Oh, God. You know what? It's okay.
But... I don't know why. Like, I was optimistic a conservative government might do something that was actually helped. You
I'm
know?
Not optimistic about the government at all anymore.
I just honestly, because like so many, I thought like it doesn't matter that, you know, Amsterdam's right there, you know, compared to here, it's so close. The fact is, we're more likely in this country to adopt American trends. Yeah. It's just how it kind of is.
That's
Because, you know, legalization in America. Yeah. I thought because that had started to open up then, you know, I had that wee bit of hope. But
you were wrong.
I was very wrong, man.
No, don't try not to have hope in them. It's just useless. You just end up disappointed.
We've learned a lesson today.
I've learned something today. No, I just think, you know what? They're trying to ban pleasure and prohibit people's behavior. I find it hilarious how they, I don't know in what, how a person justifies this to themselves.
Yeah,
like,
to themselves.
I'm doing a good thing by stopping this. Like, all of these addicts of these things, once we ban this, we will be saving them.
Or these you have to be a kind of megalomaniac, though, don't you, in
yeah,
a way?
You have to be an insane person to actually think people are going to go, oh,
I have to save you
illegal.
From yourself.
Okay, I'm going to stop now. You know?
I don't know. We always got into talking about this, but it's... If they stopped introducing boring. Ridiculous bills like this, I wouldn't have to talk about it all the time. So nobody blame me for this if you're bored of me talking about drug decriminalisation. But it's
right
a good point.
To our government. It's not even on the table here. It's not. Will never be.
There's a group called Clear that are kind of pushing for it, but it's not even like...
Are a good group. I can send Michael the link. I think they're just clear.org, I think.
clearuk.org, maybe. I don't know. We'll look it up.
I'll find out. It's
You're
a good
terrible
organization. And it's like, I think it's $10 for the, or £10 for the year or something to be a member. I have my membership.
But that's
card.
The thing. I mean, it's small just now because, I mean, we've got some big reactionary newspapers like the Daily Mail. They jumped on a study that said something kind of mildly sort of critical. Well, it wasn't mildly critical, but it was a study a guy had done of like marijuana users and stuff, and they jumped on all the negative bits and overemphasized them and stuff, and it was all over the papers. And see, at that point I was like, there's going to be a mood in this country, you know, because
I know
it's just that generation, because there's a generation,
but
see,
that generation will die out though.
I don't know how true this is.
Morbid, like.
People talk a lot about, they say, how marijuana potency has changed in strength since like the 70s till now, but I've heard some people say that it's not as big a change as they make it out to be.
Friends of ours have suggested that.
And the reason for that, some people suggest, is that some older people might go, oh, well, I tried it when I was younger and it was fine, why not? But now they're going, no, this isn't the nice stuff you smoked when you were young. This is evil modern marijuana.
Please never do that voice again. Can you promise me that?
Okay, I'll try.
Just stay away from it.
My voiceover career never went well. We'll be back and I won't do any more voiceovers.
We like to have fun here.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you?
by only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is the Freedom Beans. I'm Dan Green, here with Katie Green. Hello. Now, we are obligated by Section 64, Paragraph 7 of the Freedom Fiends Handbook to say that Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And just from us, we would like to say that David Cameron wants to ban pleasure.
That man needs a joint and a donut immediately. And he needs to get laid and he needs to have a good time.
He doesn't look like he has a good time a lot of the time. British Prime Ministers generally look really tired after like a year. They look
Yeah, it ages them greatly.
Yeah, and then after two terms, it's like somebody's beating them up usually.
Yeah. Tony Blair went in there, you know, with a smile
on
his
face. Well, it kind of happens with American presidents as well.
Well, Barack Obama, he's going great, but it's kind of, you know, with him, it's like, okay, all right, I get it. He's old, you know. Is he old? How old is he?
I don't know.
87? 27. I have no concept of age.
I've noticed. No, but
42.
But yeah, no, it's, I don't know. I think that kind of thing would age you, man. That would age me. I mean, it's like, I think that being like a president or a prime minister or something, I mean, but it limits your own freedom to such a massive extent. So I suppose then how could you really expect, you probably get jealous that everyone else has got more freedom than you do.
I just think you need to be a psychopath to even want to have that job in the first place. I just do. I just think, I mean, how do you distance yourself that much from the fact that you're caught, that the decisions that you're allowing to go through, the things you're, I say allowing, you know, the last guy that tried to, you know, oust it. Look like, what they did to
but
him.
Who's really in charge, you know?
Well, that's the thing, I know.
Because we don't really know, and we're not going to start hitting you with who we think is running the world, because we don't know.
Who ran the world?
I think it's secretly you.
It might be me.
But it could be.
Could be Barney.
But we covered a lot of stuff in this show. I mean,
it got weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know,
like
at this point, that's what we do. So,
yeah. But I suppose music and drugs sort of run into each other as topics.
I think creativity and psychedelics go hand in hand. And that's my personal opinion. And it will be for the time being. So, there you go.
Until I change it, that's
my opinion. Until I change my opinion, that's what it shall stay.
But that's your opinion and you're stuck with
that's
it.
That's my opinion and I'm sticking to it. No, but it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I'm just sick of it. I'm not ever expecting any sensible drug policy.
I don't think we will ever get one. In fact, I think they're just going
to
keep.
We should just move to Holland.
It might come to that if they scrap these EU laws.
They wouldn't have us in Holland.
They'd have to. Oh shoot, no! Because in this scenario, we've scrapped EU laws. So we're no longer allowed to move. Oh, we've just complicated it.
In our scenario.
Now you're going to have to, like, you're going to have me looking into.
For any Americans who are confused, you know, there's a treaty between, you know, the majority of the EU countries where they allow free movement of people.
So we could
move to Holland.
Dan and I can move around within the EU at the moment.
Because we're EU citizens.
Yes.
Ooh, there's a big scary government if you're talking EU, about that. Yeah. But like the EU is a sort of weird one because it's a kind of weird central government. Nobody's sure what it really does. Like, but we
nobody's
know it does
sure
things.
It exists. Nobody's it just that seems sure to, what it really is.
It's almost like an umbrella group of people that just intervene when it wants to, you know, to block things or whatever. It's it's just it's scary, actually, because
but
it keeps
growing.
Let's
not talk about scary things as we go into the winter of the show.
The winter of the show.
Yes. It's like in the winter.
Have you thought of a name for your one-woman show yet?
What?
Have you thought of a name for your one-woman show?
I told you to drop that. I don't want it.
You don't know the level of disappointment.
Okay, I don't understand why you want one. I could do it like
until you give me something else. It's you can't stop the fungus.
Can't. Yeah. Well,
that could get taken the wrong way by people. I suppose.
That makes me sound like I have some kind of disease. I don't wish for this to happen.
You mean it in more terms of you're strong and resilient like a fungus.
Oh, I didn't even... That's nice. Thank you.
I'm just trying to understand where it came from.
I don't know.
I'm trying to understand your motivation.
It came from within, Dan. It came from the heart.
That's lovely.
It did. Okay. So I've had fun. This has been fun. You enjoyed yourself?
I enjoy talking to you.
We're sitting here talking to each other.
And your mad views.
Like
but
weirdos.
I know.
I don't have mad views.
What do you mean you don't have mad views? Yeah, you do. We both get mad views.
Well, they're not that mad. They're a bit unconventional. I hear the music, man.
Do you?
Thanks for doing this show with me.
I don't
you,
hear any music. I'm just kidding.
What, boo?
I'm trying to scare you. I'm like, I don't hear music, it's just you.
It's just me. I hear music in my head. Sometimes I do.
Is that a running theme?
Beautiful, man. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, if you stuck through to the end, well done.
Well done. Don't know how you did it.
No idea, but thank you. So.
This is a long outro. I like it.
You're a consummate professional. I know.
I'm a something.
Yeah. Thanks for making it to the end if you did, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you to Michael Dean.
Yes.
Just because.
Yeah. I mean, who else would put us on the radio?
No one else.